It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Be on the lookout for an insect with light brown wings, with black spots and a streak of red. We learn about the invasive insect, the spotted lanternfly, and how it could affect Wisconsin as it's turned up in neighboring states, Illinois and Michigan. Call in with a question. Bring your perspective at any point. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brian Kuhn is director of the Bureau of Plant Industry in the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Brian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the spotted lanternfly.
Yes, let's dig in here. They've been seen in Illinois and Michigan. When do you anticipate this insect will make its way to Wisconsin?
Well, the exact timing is uncertain, but recent weeks it's shown up, as you mentioned, in the Chicago area and also in Tennessee. A year ago in Michigan, so it keeps moving and spreading. You know, in the world of invasive pests and insects, it's moving very fast through into new states, into new parts of the country. So we really do expect it any time now. We're conducting survey. We're responding to citizen calls now with reports and following up on those. Again, haven't found an infestation in our state yet, but it could be any day. The one thing that's in our favor is that the temperatures are cooling off, and this pest usually dies at the end, ends its life cycle with that first hard frost. So that will bring an end to our concerns for this season, but there's a decent chance that it's already here and we just haven't found it yet. So that's why we need to kind of enlist our citizens in helping us as well.
How do spotted lanternflies, how do they move and spread?
Well, left to their own devices, these are plant hoppers. So they most of their life cycle, they move by literally just hopping. They as they mature, they develop wings. And so as an adult, they can fly, but they're not really strong flyers. So that's not a dramatic way they move. Left to their own devices, they wouldn't move very far. Just in their normal life cycle, the way they're moving so quickly is really by us, by people moving them. And this insect's a tough one because it lays its eggs on just about anything that's out there in the environment. So rail cars, vehicles, people's trailers, boats, patio furniture. It can move on just about anything that we put out there in the environment. And that's why we really need folks that are going to areas where spotted lanternfly exists to inspect those types of, vehicles and things like that they're moving, just to make sure they're not bringing spotted lanternfly home to Wisconsin when they come back from Pennsylvania or one of those infested states where those insects are flying actively and potentially laying eggs.
And to note, Pennsylvania, the first place it was founded nearly a decade ago. So why is it considered an invasive species?
So yeah, it's a non-native species. So it's not, it's from Southeast Asia, China predominantly, and likely came into eastern Pennsylvania on stone, through international imports of products. And that's how, probably an egg mass on that stone or the pallets that were carrying that stone. And ultimately those eggs hatched in Pennsylvania and started that infestation there. So it is one that, because it didn't evolve here in our environment in North America and in the United States, it has no natural enemies or predators that feed on it like it would have in its home country or home area. And therefore, there's really nothing to keep that population in check. It has no natural enemies here. So then populations of this insect can build very quickly and cause, environmental and economic damage by that growth. And so that's really the issue of why it's invasive is that, again, it can grow to very significant populations, as we've seen on the East Coast.
We're talking about the spotted lanternfly being reported in states near Wisconsin. Brian Kuhn with us oversees the Bureau of Plant Industry at the State Agriculture Department. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brian, the federal agency overseeing agriculture says the lanternfly feeds on crops. Which crops are most at risk by these insects?
Yeah, the crop that is most at risk is grapes. This thing really has a strong host preference for grapes and tree of heaven, and so it does. So those are the two plants that it really focuses on, and if it has them, that's where it tends to go as and do best. But grapes are the basically the crop that has the most affinity for and can do the most harm to. And but it can also feed on about 70 other plants. When it's young and small, it can't really penetrate the woody material of trees and things that it moves to later in its life cycle. But early, when it's in those early instars in its nymph form, it could feed on many different crop varieties and other ornamental plants in people's yards and elsewhere.
You mentioned tree of heaven, that they're attracted to the ailanthus tree. What, you know, why this particular tree? And what is the landscape, other trees that are susceptible in here in our Wisconsin landscape?
Yes, so the tree of heaven is actually on the state's invasive species list as well. So that's an invasive tree that we don't have a lot of throughout the state. Predominantly, it's been showing up, and the largest populations of it we have are in the southeast. So Milwaukee south, there's populations in the Madison area as well, but it is not widely distributed across the state. And so that's the tree species that this insect does its best on. So if it has tree of heaven, it's going to, you know, it's got a much better chance of fulfilling its life cycle, maturing through those different stages and ultimately laying eggs. But it also can feed on those trees at populations high enough to kill it, as what we've seen in some eastern states. It also has killed grapevines. I think we're learning to manage this pest based on that 10-year experience like you described in Pennsylvania and elsewhere on the eastern seaboard. And so we're learning, you know, how it moves, how it feeds, how it matures throughout the year, and what crop protectant sprays and that kind of thing will help protect those crops and allow us to manage them in a way that doesn't allow the spotted lanternfly to dramatically impact that crop production. Here in Wisconsin, excuse me, I'd just say that hops and other ornamentals are probably what this thing would feed on in the early spring. And we also, you know, when we're doing survey and what we hear from other states is that red maple is another place where we would look. And we have plenty of red maple in Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, you talked about managing the spotted lanternfly. And what should Wisconsin farmers do if spotted lanternflies start eating their crops or they notice an infestation? What are the management options for this invasive?
Yeah, for this pest, we haven't heard of any, you know, crops that are significantly impacted.
Okay.
So again, we're relatively early in it. Grapes is the primary concern. So of course, California, West Coast grape states are very concerned about this pest. Vineyards, nursery owner, or vineyards and nursery owners, because this thing can move on nursery stock through plant trade movement as well. Those are folks that, you know, are scouting and reviewing crops all the time. And so they would be looking at those crops, looking for evidence, and then treating. And this pest isn't necessarily a hard one to kill. So a lot of the standard crop protectant sprays and activities in normal agriculture and grape production will kill the spotted lanternfly. It just may require additional late season treatments that might be new to those crop cycles.
Brian Kuhn leads the Plant Industry Bureau within the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, explaining potential risks of the invasive spotted lanternfly and the potential for it to move into Wisconsin and when. You can call in with a question. You can share your concerns at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is tracking the spread of the invasive spotted lanternfly in over a dozen states, but not yet Wisconsin. The insect, native to China, first detected in our country 9 years ago in Pennsylvania. Call in with a question. Add your views along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Brian Kuhn, who directs the Plant Industry Bureau at the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, filling us in on the concerns about these non-native insects. Brian, you know, looking at the spotted lanternfly, it's got the spots on its wings. What are other visual distinctions of it? How do you know one when you see one?
Well, to our good fortune, this is a very distinctive looking pest. So compared to something like the emerald ash borer, when we were getting many false reports, because that was a really challenging one for the general public to identify visually, and it was tiny. This one has some pretty stark characteristics, and any folks, and I would certainly encourage everybody to go to our website or the USDA website. If you Google or search on spotted lanternfly, you'll get lots of great visual images of it. So in its early stages, it goes through about four nymphal stages as it grows. It starts as a very small black bug with white spots on its back, and then it increases in size through a couple of nymphal stages there, but still staying as that black insect with white spots on its back. And it's a hopper, so it does kind of jump from place to place. It'll probably early on this season be on the underside of leaves as it's feeding. And as it moves through that life cycle, again, its mouth parts and other things develop and allow it to feed on kind of on tougher material. So in the spring, it's going to be feeding on relatively succulent green tissue. And then as it moves and matures, it feeds on woody material and trees. So it's at a fourth instar, so the last kind of nymphal stage before it becomes an adult, it turns from that black with white spots on its back to a bright red with white spots on its back and some black stripes. But that bright red, I'm pretty confident most people will look at that and say, that is an insect I've never seen before. it really is, stands out. It's stark. And then when it moves to that final adult stage with wings, again, it's pretty distinctive. It is kind of the outward appearance is kind of a gray drab with black spots on its wings and black wing tips. But when it flies and opens up, it kind of its hind wings are red and black and white. So that's very distinctive. So I would encourage people to just take a look, even on our reporting tool on our website. When we ask folks to report what they're seeing, there's images of each of those nymphal stages and that adult, so people can kind of check that against what they're seeing to make sure is it this pest or is this something very different.
We heard from Donna in Mount Horeb, wants to know if chickens would eat the spotted lanternfly. Donna has chickens and they eat ticks and they eat all sorts of things. Could they feed on these insects?
Well, that's a good question. I've had chickens in the backyard feeding on lots of insects, so I'm confident they will, they will certainly try spotted lanternfly, and it is possible that chickens would feed on these. There are other birds and things that do feed on them, just not at a level that's enough to really control them.
Okay. Linda from Kewaunee wants to know if the spotted lanternfly will have implications for the wild grape population in Wisconsin. Will it affect wild grapes and crop grapes differently? And what should people who have wild grapes in their yard do to protect them?
Yes, it will go to wild grapes just as it will to cultivated grapes. So wild grapes is definitely one of the areas we check when we're following up on a contact where somebody thinks they have seen it or potentially found it. We're going, that's where we go. We go to wild grapes, we go to Tree of Heaven, and we survey those plants. So, in cultivated production, right, there's routine spraying and treatment for other pests that are going on. And those are probably going to take care of the issues for those early nymphal stages. They don't, probably not additional treatment going to be required beyond what normal grape growers do. It would be organic grapes, wild grapes, where it gets more challenging because they can feed on those. And certainly it can impact those because they feed so heavily. And the feeding is that, again, if they are a phloem feeder, so they are sucking the sap out of the woody part of that grapevine and basically stealing the nutrients from the vine, and ultimately can feed at such numbers that they can kill grapevines. So that's one to keep an eye on the grapes. But if you're not spraying and treating, then it's more trying to manage spotted lanternfly in other ways by scraping egg masses. They can lay eggs right on grapevines or on adjoining posts and hard structures. If you've got Tree of Heaven in the vicinity, eliminate the Tree of Heaven so that you're not creating a spot where they want to come and congregate, and then they come over and move over to the grapes. But grapes, wild grapes, will be at risk in this process. They're probably just as drawn to wild grapes as they are cultivated grapes.
Okay, good to know. Are spotted lantern flies, are they a threat to people at all?
No, they are not a threat to people. They don't bite, they don't sting, they don't carry any diseases or issues of concern for humans. So they will be more of a nuisance, but they really are not a problem for people, pets, livestock. That's not the concern. It's really limited to plants is where they can do some damage. And they're more than likely going to be a nuisance where they do establish in our state, likely going to be more of a fall nuisance pest.
Brian Kuhn with us oversees the Plant Industry Bureau at the State Agriculture Department. As we look at the spotted lanternfly that has been reported near Wisconsin, not here yet, according to the most recent reports, you can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Brian, one state over, Michigan, has a state slogan to control the spotted lanternfly. It goes, see it, squish it, report it. Is this method an effective way to control in an invasive species?
No, it's not an effective way to control an invasive species, but it definitely gets the message across that, and I would say, we definitely would, we endorse that concept too. You might say, right, see it, snap it, squish it. And the snap it is take that photograph. What we really want more than anything, whether you squish it or not, is to report it with a photograph, because that really gives us, like I described, its distinctive appearance is one that we can look at a photograph and know that's SLF, and we need to get out there and follow up on that one. versus something else this time of year. And, you know, we have a number of fall invaders, box elder bugs and brown marmorated stink bug and things like that that have that are out there this time of year congregating on houses and in our properties. Yeah, I think, again, that the concept of it's the most important piece of that is pay attention, see it, take that photo,
document,
you know, and we can upload that to our reporting tool that's on our website. And the squish it concept is valid. It's a good one because you never know when that's the first one, right? There's always a first one. And again, they disperse at some level. They arrive on whatever means. They may have just been attached to a trailer at one location at somebody's house. They loaded up that trailer and they drove up to their, you know, to another property. They parked that trailer and the adult was attached because they can hold on at relatively high speeds. And so you could move a live adult to a new location. And if that's a pregnant female, it could be laying eggs and starting a whole new population. So that's the benefit of it. If we, you know, at low populations, at some point we may get to that stage where there's populations enough that again, squishing it might make you feel good like you're doing something, but it is not a broad control strategy.
Brian, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Brian Kuhn is director of the Bureau of Plant Industry in the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Thank you.